Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ray and Tay today. It's Friday.
Do you remember back in September? All the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration in September, y'all. A celebration. Do you remember back in September? All the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration in September, y'all. A celebration.
Well, September.
Hey, hey, welcome to Friday's show. This is Ray, Tall Rayside.
Yeah, man. And it's the end, coming to the end of September, the celebration, man. It is Tay, Eric Taylor, and let me tell you what is going on. You want to reach us today on this fantastic Top 5 Football Friday, all the good stuff, give us a call at 718-664-9098. And obviously, it's Ray and Tay today at gmail.com. You want to email us, hit us up with the Twitter. You can follow us at Ray and Tay. And, you know, that's Ray, R-A-E, Ray and Tay today. And then on Facebook, man, you know, give us a like, check out our Facebook page. We give you, you know, constant information of sports news, not just when we do shows, but throughout the week and weekend. We give you a little sports update, so check us out.
All right. We got a great show for you on this Friday. So let me tell you what's in store. We're going to talk a little bit about last night's Thursday night game. We're going to do a little preview of the Sunday week 4 in the NFL. The first bye weeks are kicking in. And then we're going to talk a little bit about fantasy for all you fantasy people. Need some fantasy advice. And then finally, we're going to continue our top five segment. We got a good one. We got a doozy for you this one. Top five announcers of all time. So think about that. And we're going to do that segment at the end of the show. So let that marinate.
Call in or email
and think about
your top
who your
five
top five are.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, when you think about last night, you jump right into it. We both sort of, you know, said it the other day. It would probably be a good game, a good battle. You know, shout out to Cleveland and the Cleveland faithful. The Browns, they played good. Obviously, final score, Baltimore Ravens won at home on a short week of rest, 23-16. But Brandon Wheaton had them for a couple of Hail Mary passes to the end zone down at the end. Trent Richardson looked good. Little dropped a touchdown in the end zone earlier in the game. The Browns defense played well, but hey, shout out to Flacco and Anquan Boldin got busy and Torrey Smith got
touchdown.
Yeah,
didn't do anything in the first half.
Right. But that second half, I have him on my fantasy team, and, you know, 9 for 113, he did something. So I was happy with that and gave me 13 fantasy points in one of my leagues. So, but, you know, Flacco is stepping up. You know, Ray Rice, you wish he'd maybe done a little bit more. But, you know, give the Browns credit, but give the Ravens credit. They could have had a letdown, you know, against a division rival, but they pulled it out, man. They won at home, which is what you need to do in your division.
You know, I'm going to take a quote from our boy from the Arizona Cardinals and Minnesota Vikings. Our boy Dennis, our boy, the coach. He said, "They are who we thought they were. They are who we thought they were." So basically, both you and I sort of predicted this. And the teams last night were who we thought they were, right? The Ravens are really a really good team. They were a little bit of a letdown at home. They should have beaten this Browns team by more than they did. They probably should have won by 14, 17 points on paper. And they did enough to win, and it's a divisional game, and it's a conference game, and so they took care of business, right? It took Anquan Boldin second half to really come to life. Ray Rice didn't have his best game. Flacco was pretty good, threw for 336, but you know, one interception, one touchdown, had that bootleg where he ran the ball in, pretty flexible for a, you know, big quarterback, 6'5", 6'6". So
he's a big guy.
They were who we thought they were, and, you know, the Browns are who we thought they were, too. they're a pretty good team. You know, 0-4, you're thinking to yourself, wow, this team can't play. But they could easily have beaten Philadelphia. They could have won this game. It wouldn't have been outrageous if they won this game. They were in the game the whole time. They weren't blown out. It wasn't a case of, you know, Baltimore really shellacking them. So these guys are pretty good. The Browns, if you're Pat Shurmur and you're Mike Holmgren and you're the Browns, again, we'll get into this a little bit maybe in the fantasy segment, but they don't have any receivers. They don't have any playmakers. So it's really hard to win in the NFL when all you can do is run and throw short passes and you don't have dynamic players that make play. Now, Trent Richardson, it looks like it's going to be a stud. If that knee holds up and, you know, he's got his Joe Thomas, he's got his all-pro
he's
offensive
the real
lineman.
Dude. Look, Jim Brown's going to have to write the apology letter because he's not ordinary. But going into the game, Massaquai was out. Muhammad Massaquai, the wide receiver, who's their leading receiver. And then your boy, Josh Cribbs, got drilled. Oh, that hit was brutal early on special teams. So then it was just Greg Little, Benjamin, and then Watson, and then Josh Gordon out of Baylor. So they don't have that much beside Richardson. But give Wheaton credit. He, even though he's, you know, a rookie and he's 27, I think he's the real deal. I think, you know, give him a year, get him
You're okay with the fact that I think Colt McCoy should have started the season as their quarterback, as their starting quarterback.
No, you know why? Because look, age ain't nothing but a number. If you're gonna get something out of this guy that you drafted, you know, play him day one because he might only have an 8-9 year career. Maybe the guy can play 10 years. I mean, it's very feasible he could play to 37. A lot of NFL quarterbacks, if they stay healthy, play to 40. So,
but do you think
know,
he's better than Colt McCoy?
Guy.
I guess the simple question.
Yeah,
is,
he's got
he's
a better arm.
McCoy?
You know, he's got an NFL arm, Brandon Wheaton. McCoy can't make every throw. You know, so that's, you know, hey, I leave it at that. You know, I definitely. You know, hey, listen, I was rooting like heck for the Browns because, you know, the Ravens are in my division and so the Browns. And as a Steeler fan, I need the Ravens to lose. But, you know, they did their thing and their business. And, you know, it was great seeing Ray Lewis talk with the fellas after the game. Anybody who's got to watch the NFL Network, you got to watch Ray Lewis of Football Life. It is just, it's incredible. It's riveting television. They followed him around last year for the 2011 season, and it was just off the chain. But, you know.
Do you like my Dennis Green quote? They are who we thought they were.
Yeah, no. I'm feeling you on the Dennis Green quote because, yo, that's who they are. They're just that simple, you know. But listen, the question is, with the new ownership coming over and you know, buying like 70% of the team in the next couple of years, as they buy maybe more of the team, will they keep Mike Holmgren on? You know, will he stay a part? Because, you know, sometimes new ownership comes and they're like, look, you're not our guy. We want to get a new guy to get the groceries and all that stuff. So that'll be interesting to see if Mike Holmgren stays around in Cleveland. Because so far he hasn't done that much in Cleveland. I mean, I hate to, you know. I mean, maybe we'll see these draft picks.
They got
good defense. Huh?
The facts are the facts. Well, that's it. Pretty interesting, too, because Mike Holmgren comes from that, you know, Bill Walsh offensive coaching chain, West Coast offense, you know, that sort of thing. But, look, I don't know that there are more, quote-unquote, qualified football guys out there than Mike Holmgren. I mean, you don't want to bring Bill Parcells back for the fifth time and then have him retire on you. So if I'm inheriting a team.
Maybe you go with Cowher and let Cowher have the groceries and coach, too. You know, maybe you do that because Cowher's he's from Pittsburgh. I mean, he's a Pittsburgh guy, but he's from Ohio, I believe. You know, so maybe
I'm a big fan of a coach and a GM are two different people.
Okay, well, maybe
and
that's somebody
I understand
Cowher
Bill
wants
Parcells
to bring with him. Hey, it's worth an ask. If you could get Cowher as your coach, not to knock Pat Shurmur, but it's worth an ask if Cowher wants to come back. You know, he didn't take the Carolina job. Everybody thought he was going to take that, but, you know, he's staying out of coaching. But, you know, maybe it's just worth a shot. You can't just wait for the New York job because you don't know how long Coughlin's going to stay.
I was about to say about Bill Cowher, the longer you're out of football, you know, with this new day and age and the Twitter and the this and the that, you could get disconnected from these young kids real fast. So if Bill Cowher wants to get back into coaching, he better do it sooner than later.
I agree with that. But, you know, before we even talk about, you know, there's some interesting, just quick little news hits. I mean, the Knicks look like they're, you know, Rasheed Wallace is taking a physical, and he's coming to training camp with the Knicks, so that should be interesting. And maybe some scoring off the bench, a veteran, to give you 5 to 10 minutes a night. People say Rasheed is old, but I think it's the right move in terms of just having somebody. You don't want a young guy in there competing with Amari or anything. So just to have a good veteran who can play a little 4 and 5 and, you know, score a couple of baskets and maybe draw some fouls on somebody in the post, God forbid we ever did that as the Knicks, you know, I think Rasheed could be a good player. And then some sad news. The Washington Wizards, John Wall, hurt his knee, and so he's out for 2 months. So that obviously means with the season starting, you know, November 1st, and we're almost here October 1st, he'll probably miss the first month of the season as well as training camp. So that's not a good look for the Wizards, who've got a new
team. Yeah, that's tough to lose
team.
Your point guard.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, talking about that new team, and obviously we'll do our NBA preview, you know, as the training camp begins and we get closer to the season. But the Wizards, to me, are a team that, you know, possibly could be battling for 8th seed. So, you know, you don't want to lose John Wall for too long of a time. But last night on ESPN, you know, there's not too many great college matchups. You know, just, you know, quickly, you know, Baylor is going to West Virginia, 25 against number 9. They premiered in the Big 12 matchup, so that should be interesting. But last night, the upset, it sort of messes up the Pac-12. Did you see Washington take it to Stanford and pull out that victory?
Yeah, they were down 3, and then they had a pick 6. So you figured, okay, well, this is Stanford's game. And then Stanford beating USC goes to number 8 in the country, and then you're thinking, all right. But I tell you what, something's in the air up there in Seattle. That's some home field advantage up there, because, you know, they're renovating their stadium, so they're playing where the Seahawks played. So they've got a little bit of that 12th man, 13th man, whatever. I'm not saying they had any help from the refs, but
right. Let's keep it
the
at 12.
Leftover effect from Monday, right? It was in the air. The underdog vibe was going on in there. So a big win for Steve Sarkisian and that program, and good for them, you know. But
the Pac-10 is
up in the air.
And did you see
other than Oregon
with all the Trufant brothers? Trufant at corner over there is nice. Their corner is, you know, he's the same brother from Trufant and the Trufant in the NFL. So they're
calling
their number one corner.
Yeah, do we need to throw him into the stud fee mix? You know,
well, listen,
we're talking about
Trufant
the Molinas and the Matthews and the Trufant.
Trufant.
We got some families out there.
Hey, the Rivers. Let's see what Austin Rivers does. You know, you got some sports families,
yeah.
The Mannings. We'll have to do a Who's the Best Sports Families episode, you know.
Douglas,
and really,
yeah, we got Hugh, yeah, Douglas in Atlanta and Tony Douglas.
Yeah, Harry and
point
Tony.
Guard, Florida State and the Knicks, and Harry, yeah.
Hey, listen, after yesterday with the way you had, I give a shout-out to the Matthews. You got 3 generations of NFL Matthews, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
3 generations. That's big. But, you know, so listen, I mean, hey, obviously, you know, it is what it is. I'll be interested to see, because Maryland played West Virginia tough. And we lost 31-21. So I'll be interested to see Baylor against West Virginia. But I just think Geno Smith, the quarterback, is just too much. And their receivers, Austin and Bailey, they're good. West Virginia is good, man. So we'll see what happens with that. And, you know, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to jump right into our NFL picks on a Football Friday.
We're back.
Well,
so we got a big week
four
in the NFL. So for fantasy folks, remember that we're starting our bye weeks, but this is a week that only 2 teams have a bye. So that's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts. So if you got some of those guys, if you got Roethlisberger, if you got the Pittsburgh defense, if you've got
Wallace.
Reggie Wayne like I have, if you got Luck, if you got Donald Brown, if you got
Colby
Flynn, I don't know. Yeah, then put him on your bench. Mike Wallace, sit him down. Don't catch a zero. Yeah, don't catch
put
a zero.
Anything's
bench. Better than a zero.
Yeah, you definitely don't want that zero.
We got some games.
Well, listen, first off, let's give shout-outs to these undefeated teams, and we look at the first game, which is Atlanta.
Miami, Arizona.
Well, no, that's
Right. We got three of them, right? So we got the Falcons, Arizona, and Houston. So let's go with the Falcons, first game. Panthers and Falcons. What are you thinking?
For me, you know, when you break down what's been going on with these teams, and obviously, you know, it's at Atlanta. Carolina's going on the road at 1-2. They need this game so bad, but I just don't see how they can do it. You know, Atlanta plays so good at home, and, you know, Carolina had an ugly game against the Giants last Thursday, and maybe they've, you know, had a lot of rest. There's a lot of controversy in Carolina. You know, you got people in the newspaper making stupid cartoons of Cam Newton and all this foolishness. So I just hope that they could, you know, Cam, you know, obviously doesn't sulk and do whatever, but he, you know, I think they're going in the right way with him. For me, with the spread being a 7.5, I pick Carolina, but I think Atlanta wins this game clearly. Rodgers is taking over.
I do think
for the fantasy owners, you know, hey, Turner could still get you 60 yards, and I think he'll get you a rushing touchdown. Obviously, the big plays are Tony Gonzalez is having a great year, Julio Jones, and Roddy White, and you start Matt Ryan. You know, I think that they easily, you know, win a game like this, like, you know, maybe 27-20 or 27-21, but I don't think they cover the spread. But the Falcons get the victory in this one for me.
You know what? I'm going to go contrarian on this one. I thought about it. And during the week, you know, the easy pick is Atlanta because they're home. They play well in the Georgia Dome. They're that complete team, right? They're not great, but they're very, very good. They're solid. They're balanced. Matt Ryan is you know, as solid as they come. Julio Jones and Roddy White on the outside. Michael Turner and Jack Quees running the ball. And, of course, Tony Gonzalez and that Mike Smith and his defense, you know.
Still
defensive principles
Tony
that he
Gonzalez.
Brought over. Yeah, still producing, right? Out of Cal. Shout out to Berkeley. Everybody on the West Coast. But you know what? Carolina's 1-2. They really, really need this game. I mean, Atlanta, you know, they don't want to go 3-1, but if they go 3-1, they'll live with that. I still predict them to win that division. I think Carolina is pressed. I think for the first time in the Cam Newton era, I think people are starting to push back and say, you know, is this a sophomore slump? Is he the real deal? Did we just see a flash in the pan, and was it just, you know, throwing up 4,000 yards? It's unfair. But I think that the Carolina Panthers, they need to get that running situation down, because what they're running, that gimmick stuff that they're running, is just not doing anybody any good. So I think that
right.
they need to figure out whether it's D'Angelo Williams or Jonathan Stewart or Mike Tolbert or whatever, they're running the
ball.
Well,
the combination
is
fine, but just stay dedicated to the run. And at the same time, you know, you got to do the screen passes. Stewart and Tolbert, they get, you know, they're great as receiving running backs. So, to me, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, just mix it up. And, you know, what's so funny, last year Greg Olsen had a big season, and they're hardly using him this year. So they need to get him the ball. Obviously, Brandon LaFell is becoming a better second target, and, you know, the third receiver, Lewis Murphy, is not that bad from the Raiders. But they got to get the rock to Greg Olsen a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. And Greg Olsen is a matchup nightmare. I'm going for the upset. You know what? Let's throw it out there. Carolina.
Give me a score, Playboy.
I think Carolina will put up some points. I think that that they won't know what hit them. So I think I'm going for 31-27 Carolina. That's a lot of points. 58 points in a game. But you know what? I think Carolina's going to get up big, and then Atlanta's going to make a mad dash comeback. But I think Carolina holds on in a high-scoring game. And I know that's contrarian, but you know what? Sometimes you got to go against the grain.
Yeah, you be,
that's
you,
what
be you,
feel.
You be you, Ray.
You be
so listen,
you.
Let's you know, we're bouncing around, obviously, from 1-4, but let's get into another undefeated team. My boys out here, the Arizona Cardinals, are hosting the Miami Dolphins.
By the time I get to Arizona.
That's right. I think I saw Chuck D out here at a little taco stand the other day. But let me tell you something. Miami Dolphins, your boy Reggie Bush is active. The knee was not major, so he's playing. So all of you guys that picked up Daniel Thomas, I don't know. I mean, you just don't know to play him or not to play him. You know, because I believe Daniel Thomas will get carries. I just don't know how much, and then you don't know, you know, how much Reggie's going to get. So that's a weird situation. But honestly, against the Cardinals' defense, I don't know if they can run that much. Kevin Cobb is still rocking. Spread is 6.5. I'm taking the Cardinals in this one, not just to cover the spread, but also to win and to keep it 4-0. I just don't think the Dolphins and Tannehill have enough to go on the road across country, you know, at this time. I just don't think they're ready. I think this is actually an easier win for the Cardinals, where they've had three tough victories. Even though they smacked Philly, they've had three tough games. I do think the Cardinals pulled this one out like 23-16, maybe even 23-13.
Yeah.
They won this
one. You know, it's funny because this is an interesting game, because when you beat Philly, you're not supposed to beat Philly, right? So now comes a game where you're supposed to win. So this is a different mindset, right? This is the mentality of playoff teams, of championship teams, is win the games you're supposed to win and then, you know, surprise people and go 50-50 on those road games or on those toss-up games. So this is a game you're supposed to win if you're Arizona, absolutely. So we'll see if they can. For all you people who picked up Daniel Thomas, keep him stashed on the bench. I don't think he's the man this game, but Reggie Bush is injury prone. So I like Daniel Thomas. Keep him on the bench. Don't trade him if he has a bad week this week. But in terms of the game, I think Arizona's going to win. I think they'll win a tight one. But this is the type of game that the teams like Arizona lose. Right when they're 3-0, right when you're excited about them, right when, you know, Darryl Watson, that defense is doing big things.
Yes, sir.
They go ahead and
I don't
lose
think
the
my
game.
Boy Larry Fitz is going to have it. I don't think – let me tell you something. Miami, even though they have a good defense, I don't believe in that secondary. And I think the emergence now of Michael Floyd catching a touchdown, getting some confidence, Andre Roberts stepping up.
You picked him up in fantasy, didn't you? You picked up Roberts.
Sure.
You got that inside connection.
Don't make me have to start him this week. Nah.
What, you saw
but,
him at
you
Domino's?
Know.
You saw him at Domino's? Where, you got the scoop? What happened?
Oh, man, I saw, you know, Scottsdale Quarter. But,
okay.
I got to definitely, I just think the Cardinals will roll. And give a shout-out to Ray Horton, defensive coordinator, who will probably get a head coaching job, will be up for one at least this year, I believe. He is a great defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals, and I believe that they're gonna pull this one out nicely.
I think they win too. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't seal the deal, because they're not ready to be a 4-0 team. But we'll see. That's why they play the game.
Well, then we got to rock Tennessee, the Titans. Okay, at 1-2. Are going to another undefeated team. See, we're knocking out these undefeated teams. The Titans are at the Houston Texans, who are 3-0. The Texans,
the old Oilers against the new Oilers.
Yeah, basically, right? The old Oilers against the new Oilers Texans or whatever. But I took Tennessee with the spread. I just don't think Houston's going to win by 12.5. I think Houston is definitely going to win this game to me. They're at home. It's a division battle. Schaub has some ear missing, but he's okay, you know. And I think that their offense, you know, Owen Daniels, obviously Foster and Tate, and, you know, Kevin Walter woke up, their receivers, Andre Johnson. Houston's defense is just too much. But the one thing I like about the Titans, they play their division teams rough, and Jake Locker's got some heart. You know, he could throw up, you know, 3 and chains against them, just like Manning did. I think it'd be nice to see Chris Johnson wake up, but I just don't know if that's possible, especially against the Texans' defense. So he might put up another 60-yard, 40-yard game, which is disgusting for us.
Especially
Chris Johnson's
if they're behind.
Chris Johnson's a mess.
Yeah, especially if they're behind.
Oh, definitely. But I do like maybe, you know, Kenny Britt getting together finally, but Damian Williams, and I like Jared Cook, but I like my man, your man, and my man in my other league, Nate Washington. I can see Nate, you know, even though they got a good D, I can see Nate putting up some stats, you know, maybe 90 yards and a touchdown. Don't sleep on Nate. So
I think Jared Cook is banged up, though. He's questionable, so
yeah.
I don't know how much of an impact he'll have. But I think that Tennessee is not that far away. I mean, I think that they're a good team. I had them going 10-6, so I definitely think they need to turn it around. You know, we need to get – where are you at? See, where are you at? We talk about older, retired athletes, but we need to also talk about this segment in terms of current players. Like Chris Johnson, where are you at? I mean, last year. What are you doing? Your holdout and your training camp and all that was last year. And
he's not even hitting the hole like he wants to play ball, man. He's, you know, it's like on Madden. He's fidgeting on the joystick, man. It's sloppy. It's disgusting. I don't know what's up.
He's dancing in the hole. He's Brandon Jacobs now?
Yeah, we got to call him out.
Brandon Jacobs,
he's got
happy feet?
Yeah. He's going to star in Happy Feet 3 in a minute. But
oh my God!
I'm gonna say 30-20. The Texans pull this one out. That's
yeah, I can't disagree with that. I think ultimately that Houston's the better team. I think Houston has dealt with adversity. You know, they had those three straight years where they were 8-8, and so Kubiak and those guys are really growing into their own and starting to mature into the team that I believe is going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. So I think they win. I think they win at home. But I do think Tennessee starts to put it together. I think that Tennessee, you know, they'll say, okay, maybe they'll go 1-3 in the first four games in that first quad. But going forward, I think Tennessee will start to put it together. And I think that that offense will start to click. I think the defense is okay. I think that offense will start to click. It's just a tough matchup for them this week going into Houston.
Yeah, well, give me a score, Playboy.
All right. Well,
don't be scared.
I don't want to give you the same score you gave. So, you know what? I'll go with a score that's not indicative of a close game because I think maybe there'll be a pick six at the end. But I'll go 31-20. But I do think it'll be neck and neck. I think it'll be 24-20, and then maybe Tennessee throws a pick six. So 31-20, Houston.
All right, well, listen, let's look at the battle of the coast. The San Francisco 49ers come east at 2-1 to battle the New York Jets at 2-1 at MetLife Stadium. Obviously, the Niners are favored by 3.5. Some could debate that, but, you know, Jets haven't been dominant, so you can't say the Jets should be favored at home against a team that is, was 13-3 last year. Me personally, I took the Jets in this game. I think the Niners are going to win. I just feel that they'll be able to pull it out. But I think it's going to be a tough defensive game. I think the Jets' defense without Revis steps up enough that the Niners don't have great offensive power. I think they try to lock down Frank Gore. Maybe Vernon Davis catches loose. But I actually think that the Niners pull it out 20-17. They just miss covering
the
spread.
Is that Vernon Davis the best tight end in the NFL, according to Rex Ryan? You heard about that, Rex? I was like, yeah. Vernon Davis, they got that kid. What did he say? He said they got that kid Gronkowski in New England. But Vernon Davis runs a 4-3. So he's the best.
Yeah, well, listen, right now Vernon Davis is having a better season than Gronk if you look at the fantasy numbers. The question is Dustin Keller going to be back in play? Stephen Hill is going to be out for the Jets again. So they got to rely on Curley and other guys. I don't think Sean Green could get anything close to 100 yards against the Niners defense. I'm hoping my boy Patrick Willis plays. He was questionable earlier in the week, for the fantasy defense folks. But I just think that the Niners win and the Jets cover the spread. Niners 20-17. What's your breakdown on this one?
Okay,
here?
Well, first on the fantasy side, So Jeremy Curley was a hot commodity on the waiver wires. People stayed away from Ramses Barden on the Giants because thinking that Hakeem Nicks will be back, but I picked him up.
No, Hakeem Nicks probably isn't going to play. He's doubtful.
I know.
So I picked Barton. I would pick Barton up in a minute.
I picked him up. I didn't even waste a waiver wire run on him. I picked him up as a straight free agent after waivers cleared. You saw that.
I'm not mad at you, player.
But Jeremy Curley is a player that a lot of people are starting to look at, especially if Stephen Hill goes down. I think that the Jets are a little bit shell-shocked losing Darrell Revis, right? He's the type of guy that you know almost like Deion, where you would say, all right, half the field is shut down. We'll just let Darrell do his thing. So I think that even though the Niners aren't as explosive as they need to be, I really think that to win a Super Bowl, they're going to have to let four or five times a game, let Alex Smith loose with Mario Manningham and Crabtree and Randy Moss and get Randy Moss more involved. And I think that they do a little bit of that against the Jets. I think ultimately they open up a pretty decent side lead, and they win and they cover. So if you ask me for a score, I think the Jets can't really score on this team. I think the Jets can only put up 17 points, and I think the Niners go put up 24. So I got the Niners by 7, 24-17.
All right. I'm not mad at you. I think the Jets, you know, although I don't love Kyle Wilson, I do think the Jets try to play a little bit more inspired and keep it close just to cover the spread. But the Niners do come to the East Coast and to NYC and get that W. Now, look, this right here, this could be the game of the season for so many reasons. It's the New Orleans Saints at the Green Bay Packers.
0-3 against 1-2.
The label of must win, I mean, listen, like, again, shout out to Darren Sharper from NFL Network, who predicted before the season started the Saints would start 0-4. So who could have ever imagined that? So kudos to him. The Packers are favored by 7.5. That's a lot. I think the Saints are not going to have it. I think the Saints cover the spread, but I think the Packers actually do win at 1-2. And pull out a close one, not as explosive as people think. Kind of scoring, kind of not. I think they win 24-23, Packers.
Wow. So you think that
field
this game will be very close, and it'll be, you know, for these two offenses, a defensive matchup. I mean, this was the opening game. Remember this game last year was the opening game of that Thursday night game that opened the NFL season? That was a great game.
Yeah,
that was the start of that magical run by the Packers, that 15-1 season. By the way, that's one of the quietest 15-1 seasons in history.
thanks to the G-Men.
But can you imagine if the New Orleans Saints go 0-4? Wow, they're too good a team to go 0-4. But you know what? I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, I hate to say it, but this is not the team to beat at 0-3. You don't want to, at 0-3. You don't want to be visiting Lambeau Field. Now, thankfully for New Orleans, it's Lambeau Field. It's Lambeau Field on the last day of September. So, not quite going to Lambeau Field in December or January, but still, I gotta believe that both teams need to put it together offensively. So I do think it'll be more of a shootout than you've got it at 24-23. But I think that ultimately the home field advantage, and Aaron Rodgers still has a lot of bullets in that holster in terms of offensive firepower. I still think we haven't seen the best of his receiving core this year. And I think that as they start to get Cedric Benson involved in that running game, and
you think Teddy
B can
get 100 yards for fantasy cats?
It's tough because he doesn't catch anything, so it's just running the ball. But you know what? He'll have a few 100-yard games just because the middle of that defense will be opened up. I mean, I think that
you can run all over
the
Saints. The Chiefs did it.
Yeah.
I think Teddy B. To me, Teddy B.
Jamal got 233 on the.
Well, listen, that's what I'm saying. To me, Ceedee B is crucial in this game to me. I give him 20 carries.
For sure,
because it's also important that you got to keep Drew Brees off the field. It's important, you know.
Well, it'd be
I think that's important to see
what the Packers think about that, right? Because the Packers are saying, you know what, we can outscore anybody, including Drew Brees. So most teams, when they play the Packers or they play the Saints, probably the two best offensive teams in the NFL, are probably saying to themselves, you know, we need to keep these guys off the field. But the Packers disdain for the run. They almost say, you know, we're going to win despite the fact that we don't run the ball.
Well, it's an arrogance. It's an arrogance.
It is. It is arrogance.
And I think it's also
arrogant.
Hurt them, you know. And some of these teams, you know, it's just in general. Sometimes people, you know, just be too arrogant for themselves, and it winds up shooting them in the foot in the future. So, you know, you got to always pay the piper. Humility pays off sometimes. But listen, this is what as good as that's going to be. I think Sunday night's going to be a battle. NFC East, Philly, and
2-1.
Yeah.
2-1.
Well, the thing is, the Giants going to Philly, and everybody's acting like Philly's 0-3. Philly fans are crazy. They're 2-1. So they got to chill out. Yes, they need to run the ball more. But, you know, I think, honestly, I hate to say it, for the first time ever, I've got to say, I think Andy Reid is the problem. Because when he was on Mike and Mike this morning, he almost kind of made it seem like, oh, well, we can get McCoy the ball other ways, this and that. It's almost like he just doesn't believe in running the ball. And so when you have that type of mentality, you never protect or help your quarterback. You never have balanced offenses because, it's a philosophical difference. He just doesn't believe in running the ball. So he's averaging right now, McCoy is averaging 19 rushes a game, and Vic is averaging, I think, anywhere from 46 to 47 passes a game. It's just wrong. And that's not how you go and win a championship. And that's why Andy Reid is 0-1 in Super Bowls and 5 NFC championships.
5 NFC championship games. But you know what? I think with Andy Reid, what you see is what you get. So he and Marty Morningwig are sort of those mad scientists, you know, a la, you know, some of the offensive minds in the NFL and Mike Martz. And some of these guys, they just have a philosophy, and I personally don't agree with it. I don't think they're running all that. So,
I think
I'm going to
be honest. I think the Giants go into Philly, and I think they win the battle of the defensive lines, and their defensive line edges out Philly's defensive line. I think Eli is not as elusive as Vic, but I think Eli gets rid of the ball faster. And I think the Giants just call better plays and protect Eli better. I mean, look, Philly, you can't always send out 5 wide receivers and only have the 5 offensive linemen blocking for Vic. It's just stupid. They need to have more of a tighter coverage, keep a running back and, a tight end back to block for Vic, and they don't do it. And so, you know,
especially
Vic
against
suffers.
The Giants.
Yeah, and listen, I believe the Giants' defense – I think the Giants wind up pulling this one off. I'd probably go 24-20, G-Men.
See, it's funny. I can't disagree with anything you said, but I think that because Philly got slapped up in Arizona and their manhood was challenged a little bit, and to some degree they know that they're deep in their hearts, they know that they're lucky to be 2-1. They could easily be 0-3, but probably should be 1-2. I think that they get a wake-up call, and I think that you know what you don't get in the NFC East? You don't get teams underestimating other teams. And obviously you wouldn't underestimate the Giants or the defending champs, and they're 2-1.
No, and Philly plays them well. I totally agree with that.
And they play them well. So I think the Philly wakes up. They start to put it together. Because, again, glasses half empty, glasses half full. They won their first 2 games despite turning it over 9 times. So they're lucky. They're lucky also Vic hasn't been knocked out because he's been taking some hits and he's been running too much and they haven't been running the ball. So I think that the Philadelphia team pulls it together. I think the defense is good enough to stop, you know, again, Andre Brown and
Bradshaw's back.
Like they're going to fill in again.
No, Bradshaw's back.
Bradshaw's back, but aren't they going to split carries?
Yeah, I think Bradshaw might get the start, though.
Yeah, okay. So, look, you know, I think in the long run, I think these two teams, you know, every game they play is a battle. And so it's hard to take any game and say, oh, one team has a distinct advantage over the other. They're pretty – totally different styles, but it's a great matchup.
Baby.
I think Victor Cruz. Go salsa for me, Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz, baby. You can't mess with Victor
Philly
Cruz,
baby.
Philly
got slapped up last week. The Giants won. I think that ultimately Philly take care of business at home. I think that they – but it's like tennis, right? All you do is hold serve. So I think Philly holds serve at home. I think they know the Giants enough. They are fired up for this game on Sunday night on national TV. Not that you have to get fired up for an NFC East matchup, but I think Philly takes care of business.
All right. Well, listen, hey, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, obviously there's a bunch of good games this week, and, you know, we'll see what happens if the Bengals can take care of Jacksonville and Denver and the Raiders. But, you know, it's going to be a good week four. And what's great, and just like last night, we don't have to talk about the refs because the real refs are back, and it's just good.
Did you see that? The refs got a standing ovation.
That's
Jeff
Chubb, right, man.
He was probably thinking to himself, what is going on? He probably didn't get a standing ovation since Shakespeare
ever.
in the eighth grade.
Or Shakespeare in the Park.
Shakespeare in the Park,
nah, but,
yeah.
You know, he deserved it. It was great. It was definitely great. So, you know, I'm excited. But, you know, it's time for us to move on. We're going to take a quick break, and we get back. We jump into Top 5 Fridays, and we are getting into the top 5 best sports announcers of all time.
Woo!
Yes,
think
sir.
About that.
Think
we'll
about
see
it.
After the break.
Could be color, could be play-by-play, color, commentator, whatever. Any sport, the best announcers of all time. And we'll bring it back to you, Ray and Tay.
We're back. Woo! So what day is today?
It's Friday. Friday.
Friday.
Friday.
Which means top 5
man.
Friday.
You got to love the weekend. You know, you got to get excited. Obviously, we, you know, made our football picks, you know, the fantasy stuff. You know, hey, listen, let me tell you, I think a sleeper might be, even though you went with the Panthers, I like the sleeper is the Falcons' defense. I got to throw that out there, man. That Falcons' defense is a little bit better than I thought, so could keep an eye out on that. But you want to go first, or we got our top five.
Yeah, so let me just say, all right, let me give you a little bit of my philosophy here. So you're a philosopher?
Yeah.
I think very deeply.
Yes. Shout out to KRS and BDP.
So, announcers are an important part of the game because, or important part of the experience. And, you know, when you're in a sports bar and you got multiple TVs on, you typically don't listen to the announcers. But when it comes to playoffs and when it comes to, you know, really intense matchups, you watch the game and obviously the game speaks for itself, but the announcers can really take it to the next level. So, we decided to go top five announcers. And really, we didn't put any limitations on it, so you can do whatever sport you want. You can do play-by-play. You can do color. You can do this generation, you know, older generations, TV, radio, whatever medium you want. So my thinking here was I want to go with guys that make the game more colorful to me. And my bias as I look at my list was to – play-by-play guys, because the burden on the play-by-play guy is to really get you into the game, especially if it's on radio, but if it's on television, it's a little bit easier, but to get you into the game, but not overwhelm you and not take too much away from the product itself. So it's a fine art of balancing, you know, providing commentary and also, you know, adding to the product and making you feel like you're there and experiencing
definitely,
the product.
So let's start off. You start your five, and then I'll give them my five, and we'll go down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. So you know I can never just do five, right? So,
now,
so, so I'll give you my five in a sec, but I'll give you my
mention.
Five in a sec. But I did have to throw honorable mention in there. And the honorable mention, and the other theme on my five is their multi-sport guys. So I really appreciate those guys that can be play-by-play guys in multiple sports. So my honorable mention, I have to say, and I hate to say it, I have three guys that are honorable mention. And
well, I
have
three honorable mentions,
single,
too, so go ahead.
Single sports, right? So my honorable mention guys are as follows. So I like J.D., John Davidson, who does the hockey. Now he does it for NBC. He's the Ranger guy, the ex-Ranger goalie. So my man J.D., shout out to J.D. So if you watch or listen to hockey, I can't stand Sam Rosen. But John Davidson is the man, J.D., so he's my honorable mention. Another single sport honorable mention is John McEnroe. As much as I didn't like him as a tennis player, I was more like a Bjorn Borg, Jimmy Connors guy. Johnny Mac is really a great announcer. He has enough of a – and he's a color guy, obviously, so J.D. But he has enough of a – you know, player's mentality that, but it's not over the top. It's not that over the top player mentality.
He's charismatic
and he knows
and
when
funny.
To. He's charismatic. He's funny. He knows when to be quiet. He knows when to talk. And in tennis, it's even harder to do in some ways.
I'm telling you right now, I'm shocked by your first two honorable mentions. I'm blown away and shocked. But go ahead.
But that's how diverse we are. We got diversity.
No.
Team,
go ahead.
Know?
All right, let's go.
And
keep
then
it
the
moving.
Third one. All right, keep it moving. The third one is Ernie Harwell, the Detroit Tigers play-by-play guy who was her guy for like 50 years.
Forever.
And I didn't get the honor of listening to him that much, but once in a while I heard a couple of his broadcasts, and then he came on Yes when the Yankees were playing the Tigers. And it was just really an honor to listen to him. And there's other guys like Jack Buck, and there's Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola, and in baseball especially, a game that really you need the play-by-play guys, you know, to keep you going on, especially on the radio. But Ernie Harwell was great. If you haven't listened to some of his tapes, you know, go out and listen to Ernie Harwell. Great, real pleasure to listen to him. So one from hockey, one from baseball.
All right.
From,
give us number five. Come on.
One from
come
tennis.
On.
All right. Now, number five, I stretched the rules a little bit, but I gave my boy Chris Berman at ESPN. Now, he's not technically a play-by-play guy or a color guy, although he does call a couple of football games here and there.
He'll do a baseball game here and there.
You know, George Taco Bell. He used to have all those nicknames. And it's just, you know what? It's
the
just
boomer.
A pleasure to listen to him.
Okay.
A boomer, exactly. So I like Boomer because of his – not only can he handle the studio, of course, with the football and the NFL game, he can do multiple sports, and he's really – the anchor of ESPN. So that's my guy.
Yeah.
Number five, Chris Berman.
Wow, I'm surprised by that too. I got to give you credit on Boomer. Now for me, my honorable mentions, the first one I'm going to say is Jack Buck. I don't believe what I just
classic
saw.
Voice.
Everybody knows
yep.
Kirk Gibson's home run coming off the bench, limping when the Dodgers hit the home run off the against the Oakland A's in the World Series.
Oakland
A's, yeah.
I couldn't
believe it. And the way that he just called it, I was hanging out, I think, that night with Sam Getz and maybe Chris Bengus. I don't know. We were, you know, down visiting Tara and Mia. You know what I'm saying? Down in the Chelsea area, whatever, hanging out at some deli. But that right there, I'll never forget that. Kirk Gibson and, of course, Jack Buck, who just a great, great, great voice, great baseball announcer, just a great announcer. A lot of
and his son is pretty solid, too. Joe Buck is
well,
pretty good, too.
Yes,
he's
yes.
Fox's
Joe Buck
top
is,
guy.
Joe Buck is becoming one
in
of the best.
In two sports, but in the business.
One of the best in the business. So that's my number one honorable mention. And then I got to mention a guy that I've actually had the privilege of interviewing, Gus Johnson. Okay, Gus Johnson to me emotes the most emotion, whether it's football, college basketball. Gus Johnson is the man when you talk about sports, and just when you hear him break it down and get involved in the game, the play-by-play. He was even on Madden last year. Gus Johnson is everywhere and now is down with the Fox Network, and, you know, you hear him on Saturday nights at the, you know, college football games. So big shout out to my man Gus Johnson, who, you know, used to do the Knicks, used to do a little bit. He's just done it all, you know, and that's one of my favorites, just because I also like the voice. Gus really gives it to you, and Gus has some not just some soul but some flavor. Okay. And then
the
final honorable mention, I had to go old school, and definitely a shout-out to Vince Scully, but I had to go Dick Enberg. Now, some people might say he's kind of plain vanilla, plain toast, but Dick Enberg has done just about every sport. But growing up in the 80s, he was big on NBC for football, him and Merlin Olsen, and he just did everything with class. He did college basketball with Al Michaels. I mean, with what's his name? Oh, God. The
crew on CBS.
No. He did it on NBC.
Oh, NBC. He was from NBC. That's right.
What's the color guy that did it with him? I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, Dick Enberg was the man for NBC football, college basketball, college football. He's done golf. He's done tennis.
Enberg. I mean, think about the variety to go from tennis.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
To
Dick Enberg is just. And just sort of a smooth, you know, even-keel voice. But quickly, to keep it moving, my number five is Al Michaels. And the reason why I went in with Al Michaels, obviously he does Sunday Night Football now on NBC. He used to do Monday Night Football with Madden for years. But Al Michaels is there for one of my greatest memories at 10 years old, 1980, for the Olympics.
Do you believe in miracles?
Do you believe in miracles? Yes, I do, Al Michaels. When the United States in the semifinals went on to beat Russia and then beat Sweden in the championship or whatever, it was just so incredible.
People forget that. That was there. Russia was only the semis.
That's right. But Al Michaels, it gave me chills. And his voice, and then, you know, years later, he's done other Olympics. Al Michaels is just, he's solid. He's solid play-by-play. He brings in a little bit of humor. He brings in entertainment, you know, different things. But he's just, you know, sometimes he might come across a little arrogant or pompous, but he also has a little bit of class. And I just think he's funny and personality is good, and boom, that's my number five. Now, you're number four.
My number four, and it hurts me as a New York Knicks and a New Yorker to say it, especially because this is a guy that doesn't have the pure, you know, Midwest accent. He's got that Northeast accent. My number four guy is Mike Gorman. For all you Boston folks out there, the voice of the Boston Celtics and the Big East Network.
Yeah.
Mike Gorman, listen to Mike Gorman call a basketball game, and either you'll love him or you hate him, but I love Mike Gorman, and this is me, who is a New York guy, but also a Big East guy. Love Mike Gorman, man, and I can
Not
even listen to him
sure.
call a Celtic game.
Yeah, I've heard him.
So, yeah,
good.
That's my guy. Number four is Mike Gorman.
All right. We're running on the clock. So my number four, listen, it was hard between three and four. But for my number four, I had to go with the guy that teamed up with the guy on Monday Night Football for a while. And the man that was rocking with Pat Summeroff for CBS and Fox and helped start an NFL network, helped start a television network, and that's John Madden. John Madden, when he left CBS with Summeroff and they went to Fox, that is what helped the Fox, when they got NFL, build a network to be one of the major four networks that it is today. John Madden, the color commentator, who's had a video game for over 20 years, John Madden was the man. Obviously, you know, former coach of the Oakland Raiders, Super Bowl champion, John Madden was just incredible. He took you into the game. He took you into Thanksgiving. He was in your home. John Madden felt like family, personality, funny. Yeah, turducken, you know, he had, you know, the all Madden team at the end of the season and, you know, guys where he'd have like seven defensive linemen for his team. You know, everybody remembers Madden and can remember a Madden story. And to me, John Madden is number four all time for Mr.
Good
Ted.
For you. All right, yeah, John Madden with the video game especially. Who thought that he'd have such
everything.
An impact on football.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. So, all right. My number three is a guy you already mentioned, is Gus Johnson. To me, you talk about a pleasure to watch the game and a pleasure to hear the game. Gus Johnson is what every sports fan would be if they were an announcer and didn't go to, you know, announcing school, and not that he didn't, but I'm just saying he is what all the sports fans are. He gets emotional. He gets that intonation in his voice.
Yeah.
He gets that, yeah, you know, man, you're there with him. And then March Madness is just unreal with Gus, which is funny because we had him on Hearts of Guard Radio, and I called in and I asked him a question. I said, Gus, man, you know, we watch you doing – well, now he's doing football on Fox, which kudos to him. But he was doing college basketball and pro basketball, and I thought he'd say college basketball just because, you know, the March Madness. And he said his sport of all sports is pro basketball. But I tell you what, it's a pleasure.
Shout out to Edgar for that, definitely.
Hard to Guard Radio. But to me, college basketball with Gus Johnson is unbelievable. Those 2 weeks in March are unbelievable. So he's my number three. Who's your number three?
You can't argue that. For me, I got to go with, he's a PTPer, baby. He's all this, he's all that. It's Dick Vitale is ESPN. He is college basketball. There's nobody more passionate, more emoting, more foolish, more ridiculous, more exciting. You know, he's all get off the bus team, this, that, Cadillac. You know, he's, you know, all freshman. You know, but Dick Vitale, Dickie V is the man. I mean, I can't even say it in any other way. When he goes to college stadiums and people rub his head and he does games and always, you know, has done the ACC. I mean, I grew up with Vitale, ESPN. I remember back with Joe B. Hall, was the coach of Kentucky, and Dick Vitale. And listen, Dick Vitale coached with Detroit. You know, he had a stint in coaching. And Dick Vitale is one of the best announcers, color commentators, just an announcer and just an image and a personality of college sports that you'll ever find. So Dickie V is my number
and
three.
And he loves what
question.
He does. He loves what he does, genuinely.
Love
he loves the game. I mean, everybody's an entertainer. Everybody in the media business is an entertainer. But he really, really loves what he does.
And he really
is. All right, well, let me keep it moving here. So my number two, I'll just say four words. You are looking live. That just gives me chills. That's when our boy Brent Musburger used to be on CBS on the NFL before CBS was doing the AFC, when they were doing the NFC. CBS and the NFL Today was unbelievable. And Brent Musburger, whenever they go to their game, they would say, "You are looking live at Texas Stadium." Remember that with Jimmy the Greek? And that whole crew over there, Jane Kennedy, that's my man. So Brent Musburger, grew up with him doing football, but he's also does college football, he does college basketball. He's the all-around consummate professional, right? He's in that same category with your boy Al Michaels.
Would have been the honorable mention and in my top 10. He would have been number 9 for me. I love Brent, man. So I agree with
Brent
you on that.
He's the man. So Brent's number 2 for me.
Right,
who do you have as number 2?
My number 2 is Patrick Ewing. Is Marv Albert, baby, the voice of the Knicks. And I don't care if he's with the Brooklyn Nets now or whatever. He's done the Jets, he's done football, NBC. Marv Albert is the man. Was the man, is the man. Marv Albert's voice, the way he's done basketball. I mean, so many people have emulated him and started careers because of him, the Albert brothers, whatever. So Marv Albert's my number 2. We got to go. So keep going.
Number one is Marv Albert. That's my number one, Marv Albert. Yes, and it counts. So he does the Knicks. He does NFL.
And
remember, he does boxing with the fight doctor, Ferdy Pacheco. Yo, that's Marv, man. Marv, to me, is number one. He brings the perfect combination of knowledge for the game, emotion for the game, excitement, love of the game, entertainment value, and comedy. Marv with that witty humor. With all those battles that he's had with his play-by-play guys. You know,
Marv is great. All right, so listen.
So who's your number
one? Him and Fratello are great on TBS, TNT, definitely. So my number one is somebody that none of us have mentioned yet, and to me, he just was sports. Howard Cosell. This is Howard Cosell. And to Cosell made ABC, Worldwide Sports. Him and Ali created just the whole relationship with boxing, from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. You're the champ, this and that, whatever. To me, Howard Cosell, the start of Monday Night Football, he made it. Howard Cosell is just a sports legend, personality strong, this and that or whatever. But that voice, and when you tuned in to listen to Howard Cosell, you were blown away, you were pulled in, and nobody just, you know, you put you on the edge of your seat. And, yeah, he might have been controversial to some folks, but Howard Cosell, man, he was the man. He
combined sports and entertainment. He was unbelievable.
The best. I love Howard Cosell. So listen, we'll be back on Monday, 7 o'clock, right? We're rocking 7 o'clock.
Seven Eastern. P.M. Yes, 7 Eastern. So have a great weekend. Enjoy Week 4 of the NFL. Take those Steelers and those Colts out of your fantasy lineups.
Yes,
it's Ray and Tay today. Thanks for listening.
All right, Ray and Tay. Thanks for talking sports with friends. Let's go, Philip Rivers and Jay
Cutler.
See you
on Monday.
Niggas, you should start rapping after 4 bars. Nigga, go in.
After 4 bars, brother, just go in. After 4 bars, brother, just go in. After 4 bars, brother, just go in. Come on, baby, just go in. After 4 bars, brother, just go in. After 4 bars, brother, just go in. After 4 bars, brother, just go in. Come on, baby, just go in.
I seen how you do with your lost ass crew. That's why I got the road map just for you. Hopping in your car, boat, or plane. Can't save this low brain. So I guess you need some education, man. Your rhymes are so simple and plain. For you, just walking up the stairs is going against the grain. If I'm forced to spit pain, it ain't no T-Pain or no Lil Wayne or a rock chain. It's Ecompleasy, man. The energetic enigma to step harder than a sigma. Roar like an omega, smoother than a kappa and an alpha you later. So please don't be a hater, cause the E is much greater. And back in 04, I voted for Ralph Nader. And I'm watching out for all them acid and them tomatoes. And when the verse ends, I'ma say see you later. And I'm not the type of cat to ever rock no pink gators. But I'm out of here, but not like Wiener Schwarzenegger.